ain't throwing starfish here. Now we're having a good party, talking about structural change. We believe the land is sacred, even beneath that vacant parking lot, where the weeds are doing their best to express the need for something different. Gonna make some space for you and me to live here all together. Gonna make it safe and fun for kids to get around the town. Gonna find me a residential pedestrian district where I can gracefully grow older. Gonna spend my remaining years sharing Boulder.
Hello, Boulder and the wider world. This is the Sharing Boulder Podcast.
My name is Philip Ogren, and for episode 55, I interviewed Audrey DeBarros, who is the Executive Director of Commuting Solutions, a regional transportation management organization that serves the Northwest metro area, including Boulder. She is also running for elected office as an RTD board member for District O, which covers much of Boulder County. We spoke about how Commuting Solutions serves our region, Boulder County's transit plan named Linking Boulder County, train service to Boulder, structural changes coming to the RTD board, RTD's comprehensive operational analysis, and various efforts underway to improve transit in the region, a new bike share pilot, bike and ride shelters, among other subjects. I appreciate Audrey's deep experience working with local governments and RTD to help improve transit in our region, and I learned a lot about many transit improvements that are coming soon to our region, including announcements of getting train service between Denver and Boulder starting in 2029. I have two quick announcements. The first is that I'm going to walk with my friend Alex to Coors Field to see the Rockies play the St. Louis Cardinals on September 5th at 6 p.m. Please reach out to me if you would like to join us. We will leave 10 hours before the first pitch. The second is that I have launched another podcast called the Better Boulder Hearts and Minds Podcast. This will be a podcast focused on Better Boulder board members, candidates we have endorsed, and friends of our organization. The first two episodes are already out, featuring Scott Rodwin of Rodwin Architecture and Sue Prant of Community Cycles, and there are several more episodes in the works. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, back to the show. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Audrey DeBarros. Since we discussed the Linking Boulder County Plan document at length, Audrey wanted people to know that due to RTD's recent exploration of service modifications beginning in 2027, the Linking Boulder County Transit Plan is on hold for a few months. This will enable the planning effort to align with the baseline assumptions. Audrey, welcome to Sharing Boulder. Thank you so much for making time to do an interview today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, great. Well, do you mind just giving a quick introduction?
Sure. My name is Audrey DeBarros, and I'm a candidate for the RTD Board District O.
Wonderful. So I wanted to start off with how we met. So yeah. This is maybe, I think it was 2015, because the bike path hadn't opened yet. Or maybe it had. I'm sorry. I know that I bought an e-bike in anticipation of the bike path opening in the January of 2016. And I think we met on a bike to work day. You were manning the Commuting Solutions. Womaning. No, I'm sorry. So you were at the station for Commuting Solutions, and I found out about your organization from there. And then I showed up at one of your meetings, which was super interesting. Like, at the time I was looking for ways to get involved in politics and understand how it all works. And I went to one of the Commuting Solutions quarterly meetings, and it's like this all hands of local governments and regional government people, and they're all coming together in one room and talking about things that are on their mind related to transit. So maybe, do you mind giving us an overview of what Commuting Solutions is and what they do and about those meetings?
Yeah, I'd love to. So Commuting Solutions is a 501c nonprofit organization, and we serve as the Transportation Management Organization, or TMO, for this Northwest region. So when I say Northwest region, I mean the communities of Boulder County, Louisville, Superior, Broomfield, Westminster, Erie, Lafayette, and Longmont. So this Northwest area. And we achieve our mission as a nonprofit through three primary means. One is advocacy for multimodal transportation investments, innovation, so first and final mile connectivity and testing innovative programs to reduce solo driving. And the third pillar of our mission is public education. Most people drive in order to get to where they need to be. And so we're here to inspire commute behavior change.
Okay. TMO stands for Transportation Management Organization?
You got it.
Okay, cool. If I went to name your other metropolitan area, Philadelphia or something, would they have a TMO? Is that like an industry term?
The transportation space, yes, it is. There are 8 TMOs in the Denver metro region and about 150 across the country. And what makes us unique is that it's as you just said, we convene people and organizations, whether it's the government sector, chambers of commerce, nonprofit organizations, within a specific geographic area to address the mobility or transportation needs in that space. And so we have a TMO right here in the city of Boulder. Boulder Chamber Transportation Connections is one of our sister organizations, as well as, you know, Denver, North I-25, South I-25. And so we all achieve our mission differently depending upon the context in which we serve.
Wow. Okay, so you just opened my mind to the fact that there's 2 TMOs. One that like kind of affect me. Let's just, you know, put it that way. One in Boulder. That's related to the chamber, you said?
Yes, they are part of the Boulder Chamber.
Okay, and then Commuting Solutions, which is maybe a larger geographic
regional.
Okay.
Yes.
Is the Boulder one kind of nested under Commuting Solutions?
No, we work alongside each other and partner. Yeah. Very closely.
Cool. Well, can you just describe one of those meetings, that one of your quarterly membership meetings?
Absolutely. We typically structure the agenda to be more focused largely on public policy and funding, recognizing like that's sort of the big elephant in the room. How are we changing state policy, federal policy, local, regional to support multimodal systems? And bringing stakeholders together so that we are continuing to make progress for our region.
It was such an... So I've been to maybe 4 or 5 of those meetings, I think. And to me, it was just so fascinating as someone who doesn't have background in local government and is just trying to figure out how it all works and figure out how I can maybe support or like figure out who I want to like... who's doing what, right? You know, and it's such an interesting meeting because you have all these elected representatives from all over the region. You have folks from RTD and various nonprofits. I think I saw B-Cycle was on the agenda for the next one this month. And just like there's this activity of herding cats who they all have different priorities and different demographics and, you know, just... thinking about your average commuter who lives in Erie and your average commuter who lives in downtown Boulder, there's just competing and differing interests in terms of who cares about what. And I just found those meetings to be super fascinating. So I just want to put a plug in to go to the membership meetings if they're open to the public. And there's not much public there per se. It's mostly city leaders and regional leaders who are elected representatives or running nonprofits. But as just a kind of person in the public, it's super fascinating and totally worth going to.
We're fortunate to live in a part of the Denver metro area where our local governments care deeply about multimodal transportation. You know, transportation affects so much in terms of climate, mobility, economic vitality, and just overall well-being and access to life. Yeah. And so, you know, recognizing the status of, you know, people commuting and traveling farther based upon where they can afford to live, transportation becomes an even more important part of, you know, jurisdictions' priorities. And so we're fortunate in this part of the metro area where Our local governments work extremely well and have a shared vision for how we want to improve mobility at a regional level. And that has been made us a powerhouse for how we get big things done in this area in partnership with our congressional members, state elected officials, CDOT, RTD, the Denver Regional Council of Governments. It takes a lot of collaboration and partnerships to get big dreams to come to fruition.
Well, that's an amazing skill that you have to get all those people into one room and have these productive conversations. Because that's what they seem like to me, is like very productive. People finding out mm-hmm. things they didn't know, comparing notes, looking for points of agreement. And, you know, so I don't know, just very fascinating for me
Thank
to go
you.
To those.
I think it's just important for your listening audience to know that our local governments work, you know, very hard to address these mobility issues. And if money were not an issue, we would have achieved so many of our goals already. But it takes this tenaciousness and persistence to make big projects like this happen.
Okay, projects like this. What is this? What are we working on?
Well, you mentioned the U.S. 36 bikeway.
Sure.
I mean, that was a huge accomplishment for our region, which, you know, was a part of a much larger CDOT project, and it initiated bus rapid transit as a part of that, the Flatter and Flyer service, and, you know, made the U.S. 36 express lanes free for...
I just remembered, wasn't the name of Commuting Solutions something? What was it before the current name?
The original name was... U.S. 36 TMI.
That's right.
So
that was like kind of the first big push of
the U.S. 36 was sort of the historical focal point, recognizing how outdated it was, how unsafe it was, and the huge travel demand coming into the city of Boulder in particular.
I just can't say enough gratitude about how much better U.S. 36 is than when I first came into town in 2002, and I would pick up the bus at Westminster Park and Ride and take it into downtown Boulder, and, you know, the park and rides along the way were just disasters, you know, especially the Broomfield. You had to make multiple left-hand turns into that ridiculous parking lot up on the hill, and it would take, without any kind of hiccup, it was a full 7 minutes when you got off there at that exit ramp, go through the parking lot, drop people off, get back on. And it's nothing like 7 minutes anymore. It's like 30 seconds. It's amazing.
Yeah. And that was all paid for by Fast Tracks. People might oftentimes forget about that because it's been a minute.
Oh, yeah.
But that infrastructure didn't exist before Fast Tracks.
Okay. I didn't know that because usually when people in Boulder talk about Fast Tracks, it's in the context of feeling ripped off by not having a train yet.
Right.
And part of me just feels like, man, our buses work so good on that corridor. They are very
efficient, but it doesn't meet the entire travel demand for our region.
Yeah. So you're running for RTD Board District O. Tell us about how the campaign is going or anything else you want to say about that.
I'm just super excited to continue to serve my community in a new way. I have deep relationships in this community, and I really am excited at the prospect of just serving at a different level in a different place and in a new way. And the campaign's going great. Going to be submitting my petition signatures here shortly, and nice. We'll be off and running, hopefully.
You sent me a document, and I'm forgetting the name of it. It's a visionary Boulder County transit something. Can you remind me what it's called?
Absolutely. So it's the planning study is called Linking Boulder County, and what's really special about this planning work and the state of the system report that I sent to you is that this is the county's first transit plan. So they are creating a vision for how to accommodate or address the mobility needs for all between now and the year 2050, so over the next 15 years.
Yeah, it has this feel of, this is the first time I've seen it. I've spent some time with it this morning. And I guess it's the first time for a lot of people because it's the first edition of this linking, transit linking. Remind me the name.
Linking Boulder County.
Linking Boulder County. Thank you. It has very much a feel of reading the transportation section of the Boulder Valley Comprehensive Plan of like, it's got nice graphics and it's got like, why are we doing this? And here's some thoughts and some community feedback. It's really well written and it's got some really nice visuals and some good data in it. What were some highlights for you?
Well, the purpose of the State of the System report is really just to communicate the existing conditions of how people are traveling in our region and to obtain input from Boulder County residents around what matters most to them. And some of the things that I took away from the study, if that would be
That'd be great.
Helpful, would be that, you know, this the purpose of the Linking Boulder County is to create a vision for how, again, transit can improve over time, recognizing that, you know, employment and population is going to only continue to grow over the next 15 years. Some of the things that were a little bit surprising to me, maybe to you as well, is that about 90% of all trips into and out of Boulder County are by a vehicle, and that transit ridership represents less than 1% of all trips.
I think that was within the county?
Yeah.
The 1%. And then I felt like the trips into the county was a higher percentage, like maybe 9% or something like that. I can't remember now. But it was that kind of felt like a sucker punch when I saw the graphic that showed the I thought it was within trips, within county trips of the it's like a, it's not a histogram, but, and it's not a pie chart either, but it's the same data as a pie chart showing like 55% or more is cars. And then there's all the other modes. And within that, the bus ridership is like less than 1%, 0.9%.
Exactly.
And that doesn't feel good.
Well, it just tells you we have a lot of room to grow.
Yeah.
Which is why it's important to have a roadmap for how we want to see that change over time, recognizing that we need a robust transit system in Boulder County to meet our climate goals, our mobility goals, our access goals, our economic vitality goals. So
yeah.
This information is really important. A couple other items that I took from the report is that annual ridership of within Boulder County is about 7.6 million trips, and that's roughly around 10% of RTD's overall ridership.
Okay.
Comes from Boulder County. And then a couple other things that stuck out to me just from an access perspective for all is that there are over 1,100 bus stops, RTD bus stops within Boulder County, but only half of them meet the ADA standards. And so when I think about the people who might be in a wheelchair or have a walker and they don't have a way to safely access the bus stop, that could prevent them from using it at all.
Yeah.
So I think the study just opens up our eyes to not only the need for increasing commuter service so that more people can travel for work purposes like you do, but also for other travelers. And again, how to make sure that all people, regardless of their age or ability, have access to transit safely.
I also noticed that not even all the bus stops have signs, which made me scratch my head. I don't remember ever stopping waiting at a bus stop that didn't have a bus stop sign, but there must be areas of the RTD network that have fewer signs for some reason. Do you know anything about that?
Not that level of detail.
That's kind of a weird anomaly in the system, I thought.
Yeah. Bus stops are, you would think it would be a commitment of RTD to make sure that infrastructure is in place, but it's actually a shared responsibility with local governments.
Okay.
And so most recently, earlier this year, RTD staff work with counties throughout the Denver region to really, to basically assess all of the bus stops within the Denver metro area, which is a colossal effort.
Totally.
And they have this database and inventory of sort of the condition. And then that opens up the opportunity to start having conversations about how do we improve access for all.
Yeah, I don't just take the bus for commuting. I bus all over the place, and the difference between different bus stops and how you feel.
Yes.
Like some of them just like kind of induce anxiety because you're just pressed up against the curb. And there's not much there, you know, and some, you know, especially like the park and ride bus stops, which are like fully equipped. And there's a lane that the buses pull off into, like the Table Mesa Park and Ride has great bus stops. It's just easy to be there and relax and know that if the bus comes, you'll see it and they'll see you. As opposed to other stops where you feel like you have to wave your phone with the flashlight on to make sure they know you're there.
Yeah, comfort and safety are critically important to your point around just how you feel being present at a stop. Like you feel like it's a legitimate place for you to be or not is critically important to whether or not you'll use transit at all.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm kind of curious about your candidacy for RTD board. Like, what you obviously have some great leadership skills in bringing people together. What are kind of like some of your big areas of focus of things you'd like to see RTD improve on?
Yeah. So first and foremost, we all want to see the train delivered to our region.
Okay.
And so I get asked about that a lot. That's probably my number one question is what's the status of the train? And, you know,
time out. What's the status of the train?
Yeah. There is fantastic momentum underway to initiate starter service for our region. Beginning by January of 2029, due to a partnership between the governor's office, CDOT, and RTD, and to negotiate a new deal with Burlington Northern Santa Fe, who owns the railroad tracks. And that service would operate from Denver Union Station to Longmont and then up to Fort Collins, 3 round trips per day, and at no additional cost to taxpayers. So that project would be funded, you know, with Fast Tracks funding that has been tucked away in what's called the Fast Tracks Internal Savings Account. There's about $190 million that has been saved over the years just for a time like this. So we're really optimistic, and we should know by the end of this year if a term sheet and, you know, final design details point us in a good direction to have all of the agencies involved sign off on it.
2029 is the target for what?
Starting
it out.
Initiating service by then.
Initiating service.
Yeah,
what
service
does that mean?
Would begin.
Oh, would begin.
Service
okay.
would begin January of 2029.
Wow, that's months away.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it. Yeah. So that's very exciting. So that's a big commitment. And
when you say initiating, this kind of blows my mind. You think we're going to have people on taking a train from Denver to Fort Collins through Boulder by 2029?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It is.
I love it.
Yeah, it is amazing, and it's fantastic news that the governor's office announced in partnership with RTD, and there's 5 agencies involved with negotiating with Burlington Northern. That was announced the end of April.
Okay.
And they are now moving into what's called final design, where they will be tightening up all of the necessary details and have a firm commitment from Burlington Northern. And they'll be going back to those 5 agencies to ask for approval. And then they're off and running.
Wow. That's really something. So what, I guess the RTD board will be heavily involved every step of the way.
Yes, and there is, 156 million dollar commitment that the RTD board will be asked to make for the initial capital construction, and then 10 to 12 million dollars annually for operations.
I'm really surprised that there's a savings account sitting around with $190 million. And is that some sort of accounting trickery, or there's really a it's really sitting there somewhere?
We can thank the good work of a prior RTD board District O representative, Chuck Sisk. He's the former mayor of Louisville who was serving on the board. This will take you back in history a little bit, but not that long ago, there was an opportunity for RTD to advance a public-private partnership to build the A line out to the airport, a segment of the B line going from Denver to Westminster, which is our corridor, and then the G line. And as part of that commitment, recognizing that our corridor wouldn't be completed in full, Chuck Sisk at the time requested that this Fast Track's internal savings account be created so that money could be tucked away over time to commit and complete our corridor. As part of that, it's important for your audience to know that Chuck Sisk also took care of securing $15 million for the city of Longmont's end-of-line station. And that is now being used for a master planning effort that they're underway with Front Range Community College to envision their bus station, their rail station, and a new campus for Front Range Community College.
Is the line's going to go by that campus in the southwest corner of Longmont?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Because
that's a huge demographic to service.
Yeah. So he was very visionary in making sure that this fund was created. And it's not just for Northwest Rail. There's four Fast Tracks corridors that haven't been completed. So ours is just one of them.
So there's multiple internal savings accounts?
Just one.
Okay.
Yeah, just one FISA account.
Okay. Thank you for your service, Chuck.
Appreciate
absolutely. I always marvel at, I wake up every day and there's food in the fridge and there's heat in the house. And the fact that there's so many people doing good work to make my life possible and your life possible. Mm-hmm. And the kind of community service that this public official has done is unrecognized by lots of people.
That's why I bring it up. It's making rail possible.
Yeah.
Had this account not been set up, we would not be having this conversation.
Interesting, yeah, and that train probably would just go straight up I-25.
Who knows?
Or maybe it wouldn't, or not at all. Yeah. Cool. A big role of the board in the coming term is going to be
going back to where we started on in terms of what I think our priorities coming up are: completing rail, getting rail started for our region, increasing transit ridership is critically important where RTD can, good governance and board culture is super important to me. Partnerships with our local governments, CDOT, state legislature, et cetera, and fiscal sustainability.
Can you give me a sketch of what fiscal sustainability looks like for RTD or the regional transportation?
Yeah, there's a lot going on with the RTD budget right now. I'm sure you've read about it. I mean, there's coverage just from this past week where, there are two board committees, the Finance Committee and then an Operations Committee. And, the board is projecting in 2027, there will be a $215 million budget gap between the revenue that they are anticipating and the cost to operate the system. And so they have been thinking about this for quite some time in partnership with RTD staff around how to close that gap because they need to balance their budget. And so they're looking at revenue opportunities and they're looking at cost efficiencies.
What are the revenue opportunities? I just think about fares and grants and dedicated sales taxes.
It can be that those ideas. It could be land. You know, they own a lot of property.
Interesting.
It could be operating, you know, special services, changing fares, changing their pass program structure. So there's a universe of options that they're exploring. So to answer your question, you know, RTD basically has not had any new revenue since the Fast Tracks ballot issue over 20 years ago. And their system is getting older and it costs more to maintain and operate that system. And so they will need to have additional funding. So that's just, you know, something that's going to have to happen if we all want to keep and take care of and expand transit in the Denver metro area.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think about is, you know, there's a lot of people who drive and they're perfectly happy driving and they want to continue driving and they have no interest in taking public transit anywhere for any reason, except perhaps an occasional Rockies game, you know, to downtown Denver. And one of the things I think about is it would be great if we could figure out a way for those people I don't mean to say those people pejoratively, but just, you know, that demographic of folks to be on board with public transit in the sense that it makes their lives better, right? Like if you just imagine the FF1 stopped operating, what a disaster that would be for traffic on US 36. And, right. Cause I mean, it's a huge percentage of the number of people moving up and down the corridor.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe not a huge, but it's enough to make people's lives miserable if they stopped operating and all those people got into cars and started driving.
You know, in my conversations with the public about transit just over the years is, you know, people get it. Even if they don't ride RTD, they understand the importance of transit for people who may not be able to drive or who don't want to drive. And just, again, in terms of climate goals and economic vitality,
yeah,
just access to life. So I don't think that it's a hard sell, even if somebody doesn't ride RTD.
I guess what I was thinking about is it seems like, you know, the gas tax ought to be, and maybe this is already a thing. What does the gas tax get used for?
It funds our whole yeah, transportation system.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But is it mostly for cars or it's helping with RTD
yes,
budgets or?
It goes to support transit service as well.
Okay.
In terms of fiscal responsibility and, you know, changes at RTD, one of the big changes that is coming is revamping the board as a whole. So I want to make sure you knew about Senate Bill 150,
okay,
which the governor just approved a few weeks ago. And the purpose of the bill is to modernize how the board is structured. Currently, there are 15 board members, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a very large district, but herding 15 board members is cumbersome. And so the bill is going to change the RTD board effective January of 2029. And so this next term will actually only be 2 years instead of 4 years in preparation for all that goes into redistricting. So the board will go from 15 board members to 9, and it'll be a hybrid board where 5 are elected and 4 are appointed by the governor.
Okay.
It also puts into place requirements for the 4 appointed. So the legislature wants to grow the professionalism of the RTD board members where, you know, they want candidates who have transportation planning, who have financial background, who serve the disability community. They're changing the compensation of the board of directors to...
Is the board a paid position now or is through 2029?
Yes, it's board members earn $1,000 a month or
okay,
$12,000 a year. And starting in 29, it'll go to $36,000 a year.
Will that be the same for the 4 appointed ones who are more like professionals?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not meant to be a full-time job for those four people.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. So I think, you know, the next 2 years are a huge opportunity for RTD. And that's why I really want to be a part of it is, you know, just with all of my experience that I want to hit the ground running to help RTD prepare for over the next 2 years for all the changes that are coming and hopefully a ballot issue in 28. So I'd really like to get behind that.
And what would the ballot issue be? To increase taxes or something like that?
Yeah, most likely. So yeah. Right now, RTD, another catalytic opportunity that's underway right now is RTD's comprehensive operational analysis. That's a technical term in the transit industry where they are starting a process over the next year and a half to create a transit vision for the Denver metro area. And then a 5-year implementation plan. And they are preparing this in a constrained environment, meaning if we had no additional money, this is what we could afford to implement broadly over 30 years, as well as within a 5-year time frame. And then an unconstrained lens, meaning if we had additional revenue, this is how it could look. And so that opportunity and having that plan is critically important to then go to the voters to say, this is what we envision.
Yeah.
Will you help us pay for it?
Well, it seems seems like 2030 might be a better year for that if you've got a year of RTD rail service under your belt. You know, like one of the things you hear that's just sort of conventional complaints is, you know, well, why should we pay for more taxes for RTD when we don't have our rail? But I'm not saying that. I love the idea of having the two plans, one where we don't change the taxes and one where we mm-hmm. support the services. It's a good sell.
Yeah, I mean, transit is really important, and you know, just like our local governments are struggling financially because sales tax is down, whether it's, you know, CDOT, local governments, pretty much any public entity has declining revenue right now. And RTD is no different.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a super important issue for all of our communities and the entire Denver region. So I'm really hopeful that 2028 could be the year to go to the ballot. You know, one thing that's really, I think, special about our region, as we've talked about, is our collaboration to address mobility together. And we have a roadmap for improving transit in our region called the Northwest Area Mobility Study. And, you know, we take the progress that we made on US 36 to implement a US 36 express lanes, bus rapid transit, a corridor wide bikeway, which created a blueprint that we are now applying and implementing in other corridors that have the propensity for transit ridership, high transit ridership. So the first one after US 36 that we've prioritized is Colorado 119. You've seen a lot of great construction and project yep. under there. That's a partnership.
It's fun watching the bike lane go
Isn't
in.
It?
Yeah,
it's so
I'm excited.
Cool. That huge overpass over 63rd.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah,
okay,
you'll have to check it out.
I'm actually going there this evening, so
nice.
I'll see it. Yeah.
But that project is in partnership between RTD, CDOT, City of Boulder, Boulder County, and City of Longmont to implement bus rapid transit. So we've named it the Diagonal Flyer. So we have
okay.
the Flatiron Flyer, the Diagonal Flyer. And it'll also build the bikeway called the Diagonal Bikeway, we've named it.
Okay.
Which will provide very safe, direct access utilizing that wide median in the middle of the roadway. It's just going to be an amazing way for people to travel by bike safely.
It can't come soon enough.
Yeah, exactly. Along with a lot of other safety and technology improvements. So that corridor will be fully completed by January of 2028. And then you know, what's next for our region is Colorado 7. Okay. So
that's Arapahoe
coming all out the of way town. Out to yeah. Brighton. So a very long east-west corridor connection, significant travel demand along that corridor, and significant growth that's coming in employment and population. So our region is trying to get ahead of the curve. And what's happening now are environmental design and engineering efforts that are underway, intersection improvements that are happening. And later this year or early next year, our region will be starting what we're calling Transit Starter Service. And so this is a pilot program that is funded by a grant that the local governments received from along that corridor to initiate transit. So keeping the jump route that serves that corridor and adding this new service.
So, it'll be called something else.
Yeah, it's going to be, you got it. It's going to be called the B2B, or the Brighton to Boulder Flyer. So keeping that naming convention going.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
People living in Brighton commuting to Boulder have some bleak choices on their on their daily commutes. You know, going down to US 36 or slogging through on Arapahoe. So this would be very welcome new options for them.
Yes, and the city of Boulder has been proactive to put in multimodal improvements along Arapahoe, including the business access lanes, in preparation for this service. So we're really appreciative of that.
So I think of 119 as a popular route to bike to and from. People have often done that. And I assume there'll be a big market for that bike path once it goes online. Do you have the sense that people will want to go up and down Highway 7 to and from Brighton, or to
Maybe
and from
not
Lafayette?
All the way. Yeah. I mean, it's a long corridor.
But is that going to be an emphasis, though, as bike safety?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And there would be a separate bikeway along that corridor as well in the future. This isn't like a present day effort, but this, you know, it's important to have these visions so that we can make incremental progress.
And then there's a major north-south one on US 287 that's in the works. What's the status of that?
So US 287, unfortunately, is the deadliest roadway in Boulder County.
Ouch.
And so we're really appreciative that CDOT Region 4 won a grant from U.S. Department of Transportation to address safety by putting in medium barriers so to avoid head-on collisions and also addressing turning access. So that project is getting going in the next year or so.
So that's kind of car safety right now.
Do
the lowest hanging fruit.
The biggest need to improve safety in that corridor. I mean, there are plans down the road for bus rapid transit and a bikeway, but most importantly is to address these safety issues immediately.
What's the flyer going to be called on the 287?
Do you have a great idea?
Not yet. I'll think about it.
Keep me posted.
Erie Flyer. No, that doesn't work. Sorry.
Yeah, keep trying.
Cool. What's this purple one on 42?
Yeah, that's the 42 is another important corridor connecting Lafayette, Louisville, all the way to Broomfield. And so there are local efforts that are underway that the city of Louisville, in partnership with Lafayette, are implementing to redesign and reconstruct that roadway. That are happening now.
All right, that hurts my brain. I'm not familiar with 42, and that the map looks like a little like a bike path. Like it's kind of all it's not a straight shot like US 36, but I assume there's a lot of traffic on there now.
Yes.
And there's a big need for it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for sharing that. Is there any other topics?
There's more.
Oh, great.
I was really excited to share with you, just recognizing, you know, your love of bicycling and of transit, is that one of the strategies in terms of first and final mile connectivity that our region has been working on is a regional bike share program.
Okay.
So, you know, here we have, you know, bus rapid transit corridors and bikeways that are implemented or will be implemented, and making it easy for the public to access the stations by bike is critically important to increasing use of transit. And so I won't bore you with all the details, but our region won a grant through the Colorado Energy Office to begin a pilot program that'll pay for about a third of the capital construction and the ongoing operations for 3 years. And a bike share vendor was recently selected by local governments. It's going to be B-Cycle. And nice. So we're just in the stages of getting mobilized and getting permits. So that project is going to get started in Longmont later this summer. So we're cool. really excited
it's gonna,
about that.
It's going to happen in Longmont and Broomfield and
what yeah, else? So there's six jurisdictions in this initial phase. So Longmont, Boulder County, Superior, Broomfield, and Westminster.
Okay, swinging for the fences.
And Lafayette.
Amazing. Well, yeah. You know for a fact this is near and dear to my heart because I have last mile commuting issues with getting to where I work in Broomfield. I get dumped off at Flatirons Crossing, and then I have about a mile and a half to go. And I've tried everything. I've never done the accessor ride or whatever the on-demand flex ride.
Yeah.
I should do it just so that I could experience it and understand a little bit better, but I don't feel like I'm the target.
I would agree.
Market demographic for that, even though every time, you know, I'm at one of the booths saying how I can get to my campus, they are there. I was like, oh, the flex ride is here. But anyways, I've done push scooters, and I've tried rollerblading, and I've biked, and I mostly bike now, and it's fine. But it means I have to put a bike on the bus, and it's just an extra. Like if I had Lime scooters sitting there on both sides, that would be like the sweet spot for me.
So I have an idea for you.
Okay,
have you considered our bike and ride shelters?
Oh, I keep meaning to look into that. I have considered it.
You could keep a bike at the Flatiron Bike and Ride Shelter.
Yes.
So that when you get off the bus, you have a bike waiting there for you.
And those are free, right?
Yeah.
Because I looked at it recently enough to remember that the cost was not much.
It's free.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah. Okay. So how do I get signed up for that?
You can come to Commuting Solutions. We administer the shelters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we process applications to give people that apply an RFID card so they have access to the shelter.
Yeah.
It's a very safe way to store your bike.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah. So it could save you putting your bike on the bus.
That's right. And because what's kind of interesting about this last mile thing is in the summer, so many more people ride their bikes to the buses that it gets less and less convenient to do it that way. And in the winter, it's fine. Nobody's biking. But so then I tend in the summer to e-bike the whole way in.
Oh, good
idea. But it's a little long for me. And so, yeah, I would love to have this other solution.
Yeah,
I should look into that.
Look
I love
into.
It. Cool. Do you have any parting shots?
You know, we've just accomplished so much together for this region, and partnerships and collaboration are how we get big things done.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited about the prospect to continue to serve my region in this new way and to bring that perspective and all of my relationships to the RTD board as they begin a really exciting and challenging set of changes coming up over the next 2 years.
Yeah, you kind of opened my mind to a bunch of stuff that's coming down the pipe. And so thank you for that inspiration. Also, thank you for your service. I know that sticking your neck out to run for elected office it's not for the faint of heart. And so thank you for being willing to serve. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, and this is really important work, and I'd be delighted to continue it.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gonna find me a residential pedestrian district where I can gracefully grow older. Gonna spend my remaining years sharing Boulder.
Thank you for listening to Sharing Boulder. Please support the podcast by sharing it with your friends and neighbors. You can contact me at linktree.com/Philip Ogren, which you can find by visiting sharingboulder.us, where you can also find show notes and previous episodes. This episode of Sharing Boulder was produced and edited by Philip Ogren. The music was created by Nathaniel Ogren and Zach Lunch. Keep sharing, Boulder!